Thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Man, oh man, Charlie done broke out the blues. Little 1-4-5, baby. Come on. Bring on the heat. Keep it heavy on one, Robbie. Let's go. Oh, my word. That's fun. Amen, amen. It's good to be with you guys this morning, family. And good to have those who are online with us as well. And what a wonderful time it is to be alive, to be able to express and to be able to exhibit the mercies and grace of God on our lives. For those who are watching us online, I know I've got some folks out in Texas and Okinawa, Japan, and other places that sort of reach out to me from time to time. And so I'm sure they know the news, but we're in Western North Carolina, and if you saw the news, you've seen what our community has been through. And so just for those that gets a little context that aren't in the room and understanding what's going on with our community. And so today I want to talk to you about plans. Plans. You know, if you fail to plan, you plan to what? But you know what? You can have all the best plans in the world, and sometimes what happens? It don't work out. It just don't work out. You know, but, you know, there's a, I think I lean on that passage that Paul's talking in Ephesians, saying after all done all this, suited up, I did my planning. I've got the shoes on. I got the shield on. I got the helmet on. I've done all I can do, and I can't do's no more. What did Paul say? Stand. Just stand. You know, so Gene and I became friendly with some neighbors years ago when we first moved into the neighborhood that we're in. And our house has a basement, and we turned one of the rooms in our basement. Eric did a great job on finishing our basement, and he knows the little breakout shelter we have there, a little hidden room. And of course, I'm advertising it to the world. We have a hidden room. They don't know where I live, and so now I'm going to have to hide that. But we were showing off Eric's fine craftsmanship and work to our neighbors because they were thinking about getting something done. And so we was promoting him and what he did for us. And they noticed all the food down there that we had in the pantry and stuff. And so they started mocking us a little bit. You know, is this your duck and cover place? You know, are you going to the calling us all kind of. They was jostling with us, having fun, you know, all that. And I said, you know, I don't know what the future holds. I just know who holds the future. And I have an experience as a self-employed entrepreneur that sometimes your business does this. How many owns a business in here and has experienced the ebb and flow of business? You know, sometimes it's great. Sometimes it's less than great. And even though I had my securities license at one time, and I don't begrudge anybody that does different types of investments. I mean, there's people out there that says you need to buy gold, you need to buy silver, you need to buy this. But one thing I figured out as a father of five kids and a family of seven is we couldn't eat gold bars. And so my first thinking was, I remember what it was like back in 07, 08 when our world came crashing down and having to stand in food lines and asking for the benevolence of people because we had no food. You know, so I was like, if the Lord blesses me to give me abundance, I'm going to make sure. And Gina's done a great job. Every time she goes to the grocery store, she buys a little extra. She buys what we need that week and just a little extra. And then she's got this little app. And you guys are going, if y'all saw our system now, I tell people, I wished I'd paid attention in high school and learned the Dewey Decimal System. There's underwear I want to wear from 1988 that I can't find because it's all. But she's got our entire food system on an app, and so when we go get a can, you scan it, it takes it out of inventory, and we know what we got in inventory the whole time. So when she goes to the grocery store, she looks and says, this is what we need, and I was like, the way she thinks is just God did good. God did me good when he gave me that wife. I'm just going to tell you. I definitely am punching above my weight class. I'll tell you that right now. You know, because if y'all that know me know I'm about as organized as a drunk slinky going down the steps, you know, just like wherever it lands. But, you know, she's got a place and a time and a place for it to be. But the point is this. Now, I want you to, in your Bibles, just put note these two chapters because we're going to be going back and forth. We're going to look at Daniel 3, and we're going to look at Jeremiah 29. And the reason we're doing that is because this happens in 586 B.C. before Christ, and it's happening at the same time. It's happening at the same time. And, you know, you have two extremes of biblical precepts, two extremes. One extreme is que sera, sera, let God be, and we don't have to do anything. We don't have to plan. We don't have to prepare. You know, we shouldn't. And then we have the other extreme that is we're going to plan down to the final detail and put all our hope and trust in our planning. And have you know that's out of balance as well. You know, we do what we can, and then we let God be God. I think that's the wisdom. That's the middle of it right there. And so, you know, when I was being teased by those folks one time, I said, listen, it's good to have a plan, but you know what's better than having a plan? Knowing the planner. Because Jeremiah 29 is where we get Jeremiah 29:11, where it says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. How many know he has a plan for us? He has a plan for our lives. He has a plan for what we're going through. Listen, what we are going through right now had to go through the sovereign hand of God for it to even touch us. So if God let it touch me, that means God's going to let it promote me if I let it. Amen. There's nothing that can touch our lives that don't go through the sovereign hand of God, that it don't mean that it's there for my benefit. It's there for my welfare. It's there for me to do better if I allow it. If I allow it. When we allow God to make the plans, he says this, man makes plans, but what? God, he orders steps. God orders the steps. So here's the thing. I might have a plan. I might have an idea. I might have an inkling, a vision of what me and my household should do. But I'm going to tell you right now, I ain't got a clue of how to get there. I don't have a clue on how to get there, but that's where the how-to comes in. He says, man makes plan. Okay, I see the vision you gave me, God, and the Lord does what? Oh, there's the step. Oh, there's the step. Oh, there's the step. Oh, there's the step. And all of a sudden, I'm in his groove, and I'm getting to where he's taking me. But that's where my faith is in that next step, because he says, thy word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto what? So there's where I'm supposed to. He don't give me 20 steps down the road. He gives me the vision of what's down the road, but how to get there, I ain't got a clue. But the beautiful thing is I don't have to, right? There's three things that we are going to face when we're in a crisis mode, when we're in a situation where we have made plans and those plans haven't worked out. And we know that because in Daniel 3 and Jeremiah 29, here's the context. King Judah compromised, and he compromised with the king of Babylon called Nebuchadnezzar. And Judah means praise. And when we allow our praise to compromise with the kingdoms of the world, because the name Nebuchadnezzar in Hebrew, what it means is protector of man's crown. In other words, the protector of man's authority. Nebuchadnezzar was there to hold up man's ideas, man's thoughts, man's way of doing things, man's culture. Man makes the decision of what's right and wrong. Man has the deciding factor on what's morality. This is what's popular. And Judah says he kept paying penance, and when they stopped, and when there was a problem, what happened? Because see, if you compromise a little, you'll have to give up a lot. You know, I heard preachers say one time, the problem with sin is it takes you further than you want to go, and it costs you more than you ever wanted to pay. And so when we start compromising what's right and wrong, inevitably what will happen is the enemy takes us further than we ever intended to go. It costs us longer than we ever thought we would have to, or costs us more than we'd ever thought we'd have to pay, and it keeps us longer than we ever wanted to be there. That's what happens, and that's what happened to the children of Israel right there in the context there. They were the king of Judah compromised with the king of Babylon, and what happened was they got held into, they came in, some of them got slaughtered, and others were exiled. And they lost their homeland, and they lost their way of doing life, and they lost their whole identity as a nation was demolished right there for a moment in time. Their way of life, their way of doing things, what they expected life to be was turned up on its ears because of what leadership did. You know, the Bible says when the righteous are in charge, what happens?
The people rejoice.
The people rejoice. But when leadership compromises, what happens? Bad things happen, unfortunately, and we feel it. We feel it, okay? So in the context there, you see what happens is people were suffering because of what other people did. I want you to hear that. People were suffering because of what other people did. So there's three things we're going to have to face when our plans fall apart, when it didn't turn out the way it was supposed to, when things happen that we couldn't even imagine. This wasn't the plan, and this is what happens. There's three things. One is the problems I'm going to have to address. There are problems I'm going to have to address. Even though I might not have caused it, there are problems now that I'm going to have to address. Two, there's purpose that I'm going to have to accept. And three, there's a promise that I can anticipate through this. Okay? So I want to break down in the next 20 minutes, 30 minutes of what that looks like. The first thing the children of Israel had to face there is simply Judah compromised with Nebuchadnezzar. And I don't know about you guys. I don't know what your temperaments are. I don't know what your personality types are. I don't know what your predispositions on things are. But I would have been irritated. Here I am doing my job, being a righteous person of God, doing the way God tells me to do it. You know, go to church, tithe, don't chew, don't smoke, I'm living upright. And all of a sudden, I'm suffering because of the sins of other people. Now, I don't know about y'all. Y'all better than me, but I'd be irritated. You would have heard, John, you would have seen me in your office whining, complaining. This ain't right. So the first problem I've got to address is the blame game, fault. You know, we can spend a lot of time in here, and rightfully so, point our fingers at who's at the fault, who's to blame, who's this, who's that. But I'm going to tell you something. Right now, it's wasted energy. It doesn't matter. Situation is, I'm where I'm at right now. What am I going to do about it? Children of Israel could have done the same thing. So we're going to have to work on who's at fault. Is it authority? Is it society? The reason I say that, the Chaldeans told on the Hebrew kids there in Daniel 3:8. The reason why the Hebrew children ended up in the fire, it wasn't because Nebuchadnezzar took notice. They were ratted out. They were told on. They were tattletale. Somebody took a picture, put it on social media and said, hey, look, they're not wearing the apparatus you told them to wear right now. They were demonized. And so what happened? Because of other people, they got punished for it. They're in a place they don't deserve. And now they're being punished because of what other people did. Ooh, I'm telling you, the first thing Terry Wilson has to face, the first thing he has to face when plans fall apart is fault finding. Why am I feeling this? And Lord God Almighty, if I will let him, will make me better even in a burn. I can get better through the burn. I can't control what happens, but I can control how I respond to it. I can control how I react to it. But I'm going to tell you, I'm up here this morning, but I ain't no better than any. I'm the worst one in here. When things go wrong that I feel like are unjust, I won't go. I'm a little Irish, got a little German. I won't go sideways. We're going to roll in the dirt. This ain't right. The reason I do things right is because I don't want to feel this. Yet I'm feeling it. Lord. Charlie, get back on the piano. We're going to do some blues, baby. So the problem I have to address is fault finding. It's either the authority, society. And then maybe at the end of that, I get into, well, what did I do? What? And then I go, Gina, what? Why am I being treated this way? Why am I going through this right now? John, why am I going through this? So all of a sudden, self-doubt kicks in. Some of you here this morning, maybe you just your internal voice right now is just beating the fool out of you. And I'm telling you right now, greater is he that's in you than he's in the world. That what he began in you, he will complete in you. That you're not here because of how you acted, and you're not going to go over there because of how you acted. You are where you are because of God, and he's going to lift you up. It's all about him. It has nothing to do about me. So to look to government or authority or the boss man at work or my parents or to look at my coworkers or my society or even to blame me is all what? Wasted energy. Because God can use whatever I'm going through right now, God can use it to make me better. Or I can choose to be bitter. Amen? The choice is mine. The second problem I've got to address, the first problem was fault, the second problem is fear. I want you to take notice, and Lynn, if you'll put it up on the screen, Daniel 3:10. And the reason I want you to take notice of this is because, Charlie, this is interesting. I tripped upon this whole passage back in 1997 at Hames Music in Gaffney, South Carolina. And at the time, I was serving at a church and was really studying out how God used music and instruments in the Old Testament, working in a music store at the time. And the Holy Spirit just moved upon me. And for you Bible scholars in here and those who really have a Berean spirit, I want you to take notice of this. This is some good hermeneutics that I was taught by someone else. If you will notice here, it says, you, O king, have made a decree that this is the Chaldeans blaming and telling on the children of Israel. And they went to the king and says, you, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, and bagpipe, and all kinds of music, is to fall down and worship the golden image. It's on the next verse. You don't have to go there. But this is what the Lord showed me. And he didn't say, you, O king, said when anyone hears your music being played or anyone that hears a song that you've decreed that they're to do this. The author of the scripture, the Holy Spirit, actually itemized the different instruments, laid it out. So we have to ask ourselves as biblical scholars, people are wanting to understand what is God showing here. Why did you take the time to list out the instruments? I'm glad you asked. If you study these instruments, the horn reaches out very far. It was made to make declarations. It was made to reach far out and to it was actually like to broadcast. This is what's about to happen. You know, different. You know, the shofar, the horn, is what they did to declare things out in far distances, right? The pipe was made for close, intimate areas. It's a little, you know, the Pied Piper, the little, you have to be in close proximity, right? The lyre is basically a string instrument that was used, and David used the lyre. And it was, I'm going to get into what these instruments are used for, but it's basically a familiar instrument that you hear because of the tonality of it and the bandwidth in which it plays in. Also, the harp is the same way. The trigon is a very harsh instrument. It's that when you think of Middle Eastern music and that real loud, you know, real abrupt, brash sounding instrument that sort of cuts through the mix. If music's going on, you hear this one instrument just sticking out because it's so harsh and brash. That's what the trigon is. And then, of course, the bagpipe is loud. It's just loud. It might not, it sometimes can go far depending on the topography of the place it's played, but a lot of times the point of the bagpipe, and if anybody's been to an Irish funeral or been over to Ireland or Scotland or any of those places, you know, man, it's loud. And it's in E-flat, by the way. And it is just loud. It's just loud. Terry, what does that have to do? Prophetically, this is what it means. When we're talking about the second problem we have to face and address when plans fail, when we're talking about fear, We need to understand the tools of the enemy. Now, these are just tools. They can be used for righteousness' sake, or they can be used for evil. But the horn represents media, far-reaching. And I'm going to tell you right now, I can't imagine anybody in here watching a few hours of media a week and not having a mental health problem. It will depress you. It will cause anxiety in you. It is a toxic pool of nothing but just, never mind. The pipe is close voices. These are the internal thoughts. There is a sort of oral history here that, if you remember the Pied Piper, the children's story, the Pied Piper, the little German children's story that came out of the 1200s, that's actually based on oral tradition of the Hebrew. And here's what the people at that time, when you played that pipe, what they thought it did to you. I'm not saying it does, but the idea was this: I'm going to get inside of your head. I'm going to give you thoughts, and you'll think they're even your thoughts. I won't even get blamed for the thoughts that you were going to have. But that's how the Pied Piper was able to lead these children off into the direction they want. And I'm telling you right now, the spirit of the Antichrist is alive and well in the world today, and he's like a Pied Piper, just trying to give you little thoughts and little ideas and little things, and he's like, well, where'd that thought come from? And the Bible says, Paul says, we are to hold every thought captive and subjugated under what? The authority of Almighty God in Christ. But if we're not careful of how the enemy works, we will fall prey to that. The lyre, the guitar, the lyre and the harp were familiar voices, persuasive voices. In other words, one of the ways to persuade people is to use voices of authority or voices that you trust already, to appropriate voices. In other words, if I can get someone that you trust to say what I want them to say to you, because I want you to do this, I will use them as an instrument. And so when he's playing that instrument, maybe it's an unwitting family member. Maybe it's a school teacher you have a lot of trust in. Maybe it's a coworker. But they said something that was just sort of out of the way, and all of a sudden it validates what the enemy is trying to get you to think like anyway. And I'm telling you, that's a tool. Be on the lookout for it. Every thought, every voice you hear has to be filtered and distilled through the Word of God. And if we don't know this, we're going to be led astray, and all of a sudden we're wondering, why am I so anxious all the time? Why do I have all this fear all the time? Why am I just all ratcheted up? And the Bible is simply saying here, because these instruments that can be used for good or evil. Listen, there is a reason why a certain generation can hear that piano played, and we can play Come As You Are, and tears will come down their face. It's a familiar song. It's a familiar voice. And the power of nostalgia takes them back to a place in time where God met them at the altar and turned their life around. It can be used for good. It can be used for evil. Can you see that? So we have to be cognizant of when we hear voices, when we hear thoughts, when we hear ideas. Is this you, Lord? I'm not even looking at the person saying it to me. I'm looking at the content that's being saying, is this you, God? Because I know I have a real enemy in this world right now that's trying to turn me and change me and discourage me. And so as we're in this situation right now, we're talking about God's plans for us. We need to be cognizant of this, that he knows the plans for us. Because during this time right now, what was going on? If you go back to Jeremiah 29, there were false prophets and teachers and people going around saying, hey, do this, do that, and you'll be out, and this will go over in just a week or two. And the whole reason the voice of God stood up in time and said, I know the plans I have for you, is to combat this whole thing of, if you do this, this will happen. Because he's saying, it's going to be 70 years. There's an appointed time that this is going to take place. So don't be duped. Listen, the worst, I am a hope peddler. I love hope. Because hope deferred does what? I want you to be hopeful, but I don't want to give you false hope. Because the worst thing you can give someone is some false idea that, hey, do this, this, and this, and sow into my ministry, and da, 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 and everything will be all right. No, no, no. What does God say? The hope is this. You might be here for a while, but God is God right here, and you'll prosper through it. The situation don't have to change. God will change me in it. I can prosper in the middle of turmoil. I don't have to have the situation to change. Now, if God wants to change the situation, he's more than welcome to. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I'm not shutting the door on that either. But I'm not waiting on it. I'm not waiting on it. The third thing we have to, problem we're going to have to address is simply our faith. So when plans fail, we have to stop fault finding. We have to address the fears and know the instruments that the fear is coming from. And third, the faith. I want you to write these names down in because it's very powerful. Well, just take note. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know what their names mean in Hebrew? Shadrach means royal scribe. Royal scribe. Meshach means guest of the sovereign king. Abednego means the king's servant. You know what that addresses? If I'm a royal scribe, how I do what I do. I don't do it on my own strength. I don't do it on my own ability. I don't do it on my own wisdom. I have a vision. I make plans. How I get there? He leads me step by step. A royal scribe. You know, we talked about it, I think, in a message, Terry, I think his last message, he talked about where Peter and John was before the king, and he said, how are these men making such profound arguments? They're ignorant. That's how the English is interpreted. It's actually in the actual Greek said unscribed, which means they're not scribes. And in that time period, for you to be a scribe was to be an educated lawyer that knew the way of the Hebrew law. What I'm saying to you is this. I have got to know this word. I don't have to be a theologian. I don't have to have a doctorate in Hebrew. But I'm telling you right now, this right here, a daily dose of this goes a long way. It goes a long way from you being able to weed out. Because there's one thing, you know, popular opinion. I remember back when we weren't supposed to eat the egg yolks. And now we're supposed to. And I remember back when this was right. Everything changes in culture and society. But this thing hasn't changed in over thousands of years. Meshach, guess the sovereign king, means that's who I am. I'm not here because I worked toward it. I didn't earn anything I got. I'm here because God gave it to me. I am where I am. The things I have that I enjoy, that my family, my life, my ability to do anything is not because Terry Wilson earned any of it, but simply because God says, before the foundations of the world, I knew you, and I called you, and I appointed you, and I anointed you. And what God gives you, no man can take away. That's just the reality of it. Abednego, the servant's king, means that's what I do. I'm here to serve the king. What I have, what I've been given, what God has bestowed me with, is not for my own. It's to serve him and him alone. So those are the three problems we face when plans fail. The problems we have to face up front is our fault finding, fears, and faith. Second thing we have to address when plans fail, or we don't understand the plan, or we don't understand where we're at, or what's going on, is purpose to accept. There's a purpose for you being where you're at right now. It's not by happenstance. It's not because of circumstance. And here's the thing. I preached a message several years ago called, Are You Going in Circles or Are You Going in Cycles? And I'm going to be honest with you today. Sometimes I have gone in circles. God is committed for me being more like him. He's committed to that. You know what that means? Sometimes Terry Wilson get a whipping. Because he didn't learn it the first time. I just keep going in circles. We have a saying in our world that says, new levels, new devils. Every time you go to a new level, there'll be a new devil. But that's because you whip this devil. Amen? But here's the thing. Sometimes, and the message back then was, are you going in circles or are you going in cycles? Sometimes it might be in the same area of problems, but you're on a higher level now, and it's a new devil. I don't mind facing the same fears from time to time as long as I'm not in the same position I was last time I faced it. Otherwise, that tells me I learned nothing. Dad nabbit. Here we go, like Ray Charles. Here we go again. I'm going to learn it again. Jeremiah 29, 5 through 6. Read that real quick. I want to bring this out. Purpose to accept. A purpose to accept. I'm going to get my reading glasses on because last time I looked at this, they made the print smaller. Where it says, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat there. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage and they may bear children, sons, and daughters. Multiply there. Do not decrease. Lynn, do you have that picture I gave you? One of the temptations when bad things happen and we're hit by life and what we planned didn't happen is we all of a sudden feel like we're tempted that what is the purpose in all of this? In that picture there, you see two people on opposite sides of life right now. One is our brand new granddaughter that's just entered the world, and one's our pastor and our father to us, who, as you know, and you're in this house, had something unexpected happen. But here's the point. When things unplanned happen, by Satan saying, see, I got you. See, my you can take that down now. My granddaughter there, let me tell you how she came about. Her mom was scheduled to be killed by the communist government because the house she came out of, they already had a baby girl. And so when the midwife was called in communist China, when the midwife is called, it's because this household already has a girl, so you guys go over there and end the pregnancy. It just so happened through the sovereign hands of God that the midwife that came was a Christian. Amen. And took that baby out of that situation, brought her over by a little riverbank, put her in a trash box and heap and stuff, and then told the people coming down the river, this is where she's at, and smuggled her out into Atlanta, Georgia. Listen, she talks just as clear as I do. She's a Southern Belle if you talk to her. Which means my grandbaby shouldn't be here. Her generation right now is a generation that is her parents, my kids, right now are being told that because of global warming, because of societal unrest, because of a whole litany of issues, don't get married, don't have kids. We won't even be around in another 5 years. Do you hear the hopelessness in that message? Life ain't worth living. Life don't have a purpose. Why would you even try? I mean, that's why we have such cultural unrest right now, is because this rot that's being taught to kids that are in their 20s and 30s, that the best days of our world, the best days of America, the best days of everything was your parents and your grandparents' generation. They ruined it for everybody. So there's no hope for you. Do you hear the hopelessness in that? No wonder that generation has the highest rate of suicide of any generation. No wonder mental health is on just a craziness. But in that picture I just showed you comes life. She shouldn't even be here. Yet she is. And the enemy tries to come in and take out our beloved pastor, our beloved father. And I don't know, because he's so hopeful, he's so positive. I'm sure the devil has tried to tempt him. Well, your best days are behind you now. You ain't got nothing to look forward to. But I'm here to tell both of them, God has given you a destiny. God has given you life. And God has given you purpose. And right here in Scripture, it shows me that when things happen that don't come as they were planned, the Bible is explicit in this, to establish roots, to express His grace, and to expose the lies of the enemy. That's what we're, if you read that passage, establish, how do you get to establish roots? Because he said build homes, build careers, build families, build a legacy. There's purpose. I don't care where you're at. There's purpose for you right now. There's purpose for you to do what God has called you to do right now. It doesn't matter what it looks like. There's purpose. There is purpose. And I know, I've learned something about purpose. The fruit of purpose is hope. If I've got a purpose to be here, I have hope. There's still a reason for me to be here. And if I have hope, I have a joyful heart, because hope deferred. No wonder our society is right there in plain sight. Why we have, now that doesn't mean that that's a panacea, that it solves all, but it gives God an avenue, a place, a door to come into my life and to infuse me with hope. And how many need some hope this morning? I could use all that he's got, and hit me, Lord, hit me twice. Hit me. Well, here it is. Terry, you got a purpose. There's a reason for you to be in this season. I could have put you in time any place, but I put you right here, right now. And I put you in Western North Carolina. So I am here for a reason. Mike, you're here for a reason. We're all here for a reason. There is purpose for our lives. There is a reason for us to be here. And to hell with any devil that says otherwise. Amen. Jeremiah 29 says to improve your current. I like this. He says to express his grace. Because look in 29:7. What does it say there? It says, get me over there. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. Do you know how hard that is? Can you imagine being ripped from your life, put in a strange place? Can you imagine having a life that was once this, and now you're living in a completely different area that you don't even recognize? Exactly. I think you can imagine. And the voice of God is saying, seek the welfare. Come in on Fridays and Saturdays and improve the place that you live right now. That's your purpose. Don't sit back and complain about it. Come in right now and let's get to work and get something done. Amen. 8 through 10 says to expose the lies. Why is that? 8 through 10 says this in 29. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets, that's people that are declaring truth in a strong manner, and your diviners, people that have thoughts and dreams and ambitions and can say they see the future, who are among you, to deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream, their visions, their ambitions, their goals for your life. The purpose that we're to accept here is to establish roots, to express his grace, and expose these lies. Because what were they saying? Buy this prayer cloth for $19.95, I'll send it to you, you lay it, and then it'll all go away. I'm not saying God can't use that. Don't hear me on that. But I'm saying this, that sometimes we have to be as wise as serpents, as harmless as doves. And there's charlatans out there right now. There are people online right now pretending to be a pastor of a church in this area right there and asking people for money. And they ain't got nothing to do with this community. That's going on right now. So we expose the lies. You're not the prophet of God here. You're a false. This is not real. We expect, that's part of our purpose, is to call a spade, amen? Amen? And then finally, the last thing we're to address in closing here, when our plans fail and we've addressed the problems, we've accepted the purpose, is to anticipate his promises. Number one, this testing is temporary. It won't last forever, amen? Now, he says that in 70 years, it'll be gone. Number two, he says, I'm going to come visit. And I'm going to tell you what, a day in the presence of God is what? Worth what? 1,000 elsewhere. Listen, I'm all about everything, I like good food, I like good cars, I like houses, I like all the things that God has in this world, as far as if he wants to bless me with it, but he don't have to. But I'm going to tell you what I value more than anything else, any possession I would ever have, is the presence of God. Yes. The presence of God. I don't want any of that if he's not with it. Because that's where the value's at. That's the value. Amen? And he's saying here, one of my promises is, Terry, if you will address these things I've called you to, the purpose, and don't lose heart, because you have a purpose. If you will address this fault-finding thing that you're going to want to, well, who's at fault here? Is it me? Is it them? If you will just address all that, and you will accept the problems, not accept it, but address it. If you'll accept your purpose, you can anticipate these promises, that your testing is temporary, that your triumph is total, and your troubles will be a testimony. Let me say that again. It's in the passage here, Jeremiah 29:10, Jeremiah 29:11, Jeremiah 29:12 through 23. What you will find in those promises that he's given you is your testing is temporary, your triumph is total, and your trouble will be a testimony. There's nothing that's touching our lives, folks. There's nothing that's touching our lives that God won't use it for your good and the good of others. Job got double for his trouble. I can't read in Scripture, John, and maybe you can correct me afterwards, but I can't find it. Maybe I'm overlooking, but I can't find anywhere in this passage of Scripture, anywhere in this book, where God allowed trouble to visit one of his that he didn't use it for their benefit. Listen, when life tries to pile on a bunch of manure, God will make that your stage and platform to stand on and declare. There's nothing... In closing, you'll read there when the kids got thrown into the fiery furnace. What did they say? Our God is able. He's able. Paul says in Ephesians, and now unto him who's what? Able to do exceeding abundantly. I was at Hames Music back in 1998, 99, and we were... in one of those episodes of life where things weren't going as planned. And Gina was struggling with postpartum depression, and I was having some of my own issues. And, David says to encourage yourself. So I sat down at a Yamaha C3 piano down there, Charlie, and I said, all right, Lord, how do I encourage myself? And Lynn, if you'll cue up that song, he gave me these lyrics. And we've sung it in this church. But these were, out of troubles, this is what was written back in 1998, 99, sometime at that point. Yeah, and it says, Terry, and I'm talking to myself, you may feel weary, you may feel tired. You may be ready to give up this fight, but hold on and know that he's there. You may feel lonely and you may feel down. You may be wondering why you're still around, but hold on and know that he still cares. Why? The storms of life are going to blow, but take heart and know that he's strong and mighty, mighty in battle, and he's able and willing, more able and willing than we could ever imagine. So as I was thinking about this message, it just showed up in my iTunes. You know, I was listening and I studied everything, and it was like that verse that came and said, encourage yourself. And all of a sudden, Terry Wilson, back in a demo tape back in 1998, came on to encourage Terry Wilson in 2004. That says, hold on, he's strong and he's mighty, mighty in battle, and he's able. And not only able, he says he's willing. One thing to be able to do something, whole other thing to say, and I'm going to do it. He's able and willing, more able and willing than we could ever imagine. Amen? The Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May your comings and your goings be prosperous. Even when it looks like the enemy's coming in like a flood, let his standard rise up. Amen. Let you run into him like a strong tower, because he is strong and he is mighty. And he's here for you. And if it's touching you, it's to promote you. Amen. Amen. Blessings.